Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
We have been looking at Ezekiel 38 and 39, prophetic scripture from the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel, for some time now. And, you know, J. Vernon McGee, one of my favorite Bible teachers, he used to invite people to hop onto the Bible bus. Well, I'd like to invite you all to hop onto the Bible time machine as we take a little trip into the future, maybe not that far into the future. And that's what I've been actually trying to stress as we've been looking at so many different articles that indicate so much activity that may be setting the stage for this future invasion event, this attempted invasion, I should say, of Israel. It is an actual invasion, but it's not going to be successful, as we see in Scripture. But anyway, I want to give a little bit of review. Last week, we looked at some of Russia's allies, the main leader in this of this coalition. We looked at the Stan countries, you know, former republics of the USSR, who broke away, of course, and who are all Muslim-based countries, and many of which end with the words Stan, like Kazakhstan and, I have the gift of butchering names, so I'm not going to go any farther than that. But we looked at some of these Stan countries that will be part of this invading coalition. And we also looked really at a more detailed look at this coming battle. We looked at Mark Hitchcock's book, Amazing Claims of Bible Prophecy. We looked at five of six recent or current events helping to set the stage. Now, I want to review the first five and then go on to the sixth event. So here's a little bit of review from his book. And we looked at the first one was that Israel possesses the mountains of Israel. Israel must possess the mountains of Israel when this invasion occurs. And I won't go into a lot of detail because you can always go to the archives and listen to last week's program, but I just want to do the review. The second event, the rise of Russia, one of the most significant international developments over the past 50 years, one that is a necessary prerequisite for this invasion, is the remarkable rise of Russia to a place of world prominence. Russia has a vital interest in the Middle East and Persian Gulf, both of which are in her geographic neighborhood. Some control over these areas is vital to Russia's national security. Then the third event, the place of radical Islam. The rise of pandemic Islamic fundamentalism, which is virulent anti-Semitism and hatred, or with its virulent anti-Semitism and the hatred of the restored Jewish state, provides a powerful motivation for this invasion. Number four, the increase of Iran's role. Iran, known as Persia, of course, in Ezekiel 38, you'll see the term Persia, which is the former name for Iran, is a key player on the world scene today, as required by Ezekiel 38:5. Clearly, Iran is currently public enemy number one in the West and in Israel, I guess, unless you're a Democrat. I don't know from what we've seen in the past dealings of one of our presidents. Now, the fifth event is Turkey's move away from the West. Turkey must join the coalition of nations against Israel. For years, this seemed highly unlikely because Turkey had made every attempt to become part of the European Union since 1999. But now Turkey is becoming more and more provocative, as I've covered in past podcasts. Now, let's look at the sixth event tonight. The references to Sheba, Dedan, and Tarshish. And I've touched on this in some of the past podcasts. But just want to, again, mention it in reference to it being a necessary event of the six events that Mr. Hitchcock names here. And Sheba and Dedan, as we've talked about before, actually, Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all its villages, that's Ezekiel 38:13, they lodge a lame protest against the Gog and Magog invasion of Israel. There is a general agreement that Sheba and Dedan were in northern Arabia, or what is today Saudi Arabia. Ezekiel 38:13 indicates that Saudi Arabia and its Western allies will object to this invasion by Russia and its Islamic coalition. Of course, that probably includes some of the rich rich Gulf state, you know, oil nations that have begun to make peace with Israel. Further comments. Events in our world today indicate that the great battle of Gog and Magog in Ezekiel 38 and 39 could be very near. All of the necessary antecedents for the fulfillment of this prophecy are in place or are moving in that direction. And then we also read the remarkable correspondence between world events and what Ezekiel predicted is yet another indication that the coming of the Lord could be very soon. So, very significant. Of course, we're not setting any dates. We are going to look at some views of the possible timing of the invasion, though, tonight. And again, from another book that I think is an excellent book, an older book called The Final Chapter by S. Maxwell Coder, he has a few comments similar to Hitchcock's. He says, Russia's action will result in protests by other nations, but there will be no active intervention. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, Russia that is, are you going to take a spoil? Have you gathered your company to take a prey? Sheba and Dedan were nations occupying Arabia when this prophecy was written. So it's kind of a confirmation of the same thing of Hitchcock's research. But I find it quite interesting. Now, as we're going to look at some of the views now of the possible timing of when this could happen, again, not to be dogmatic, and I've chosen another book from my library. It's an older book, The Coming Russian Invasion of Israel by Thomas McCall and Zola Levitt. This book was updated from its original writing. And again, some interesting thoughts here that I want to go over with you. The Armageddon conflict grows out of the Russian invasion of Israel. There is a great deal of uncertainty on this particular prophetic point. That the Russian invasion will happen is clear, but just when and how it is juxtaposed with the other issues of the end times has raised some controversy. The problem is the placement of the invasion itself. It precedes Armageddon, but it is not completely clear how far before it. Some hold it to be part of Armageddon, and some have it very much before the Great War. The accompanying chart that's in this book shows that scholars have attempted to place the grisly work of Gog and Magog at almost every point along the future prophetic timetable. And we'll look at some of those instances in just a second. The problem of comparing different prophets and scheduling, as it were, their different foreseen events on a future timetable has its hazards. There are very good arguments for each for each of the positions shown on the chart. All right. It is our conviction, and just a second here, I'm adjusting my sound. There we go. I think you can hear me better now, hopefully. There are very good arguments for each of the positions shown on the chart. It is our conviction that the Russian invasion of Israel will take place at a point very close to the beginning of the tribulation period in Daniel's 70th week. Or he references Daniel's 70th week. This is the moment when the Antichrist comes forward with his solution to the tensions in the Middle East and his infamous covenant with Israel, Daniel 9:27. Daniel's 70th week is calculated to last 7 years, during which the great end-time prophecies will run their course until the second coming of Christ to the earth. The indication by Ezekiel, Daniel's contemporary, that Israel will spend 7 years gathering up the debris from the Russian invasion to use for fuel is a tempting corollary to the 70th week. Could Daniel's 70th week and Ezekiel's 7 years refer to the same time period? We think that it is highly plausible. And this is one of the reasons we suggest that the Russian invasion of Israel will occur somewhere near the beginning point of the tribulation period. Now, this is, of course, their view, McCall and Levitt. Possibly the annihilation of Russia as a military force will set the stage for the Antichrist's rise to power. All right. Now, I want to look at this chart that I mentioned. Now, they have, for instance, the Antichrist signs the treaty with Israel. This is one view. Let me go back. There is the view, of course, that this event will take place before the rapture, this invasion attempt. Secondly, the next another view is that the Antichrist signs the treaty with Israel, a peace treaty, and that, of course, is the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel. And as I mentioned, this is these authors' choice of what they believe is probably the case. Then you have the time where the Antichrist profanes the Jerusalem temple, the rebuilt temple in the future. This is the middle of the 70th week, 3.5 years into this great tribulation period. Then you have during Armageddon. And then you have at the beginning of the millennium, okay? And then finally, at the end of the millennium, the Satanic Rebellion and the Great White Throne Judgment. Of course, there is a mention of Gog and Magog in Revelation, which, you know, some people are saying this is the same Gog and Magog. I tend to not believe that's the case. But anyway, it's interesting to see that there are these different views, and God only knows exactly the timing of when this is going to take place. But we're going to look at some other views. So now I want to go to the book I mentioned earlier, The Final Chapter by Mr. Coder. He has some interesting thoughts as well. He says, there was a disagreement as to the exact timing of the invasion that Ezekiel prophesied. No specific revelation is given. It will be after many days in the latter years, in the latter days, according to Ezekiel 38:8-16. Some details have been cited to show it may come early in the kingdom age, you know, when Christ returns and rules and reigns, but the Lord is going to cast out all things that offend and them which do iniquity when he begins his reign, Matthew 13:41. For different reasons, it has been suggested that Russia will come against Israel in the closing days of the church age, that is, before the rapture of the church, when Christ comes and takes his church out of the world. Most scholars agree that Ezekiel was writing about the 7 years of tribulation which precede Christ's second coming, which, you know, distinguishing between the rapture and the second coming there. Those who favor the middle of that period point to the fact that the Jews will be dwelling safely in unwalled, literally open villages, which may mean the Jews are under the protection of the Antichrist after a treaty with him has been signed, Daniel 9:27, and I referenced that earlier. Some think the destruction of the Northern Confederacy may provide the opportunity for the beast to become a world ruler, since his greatest enemy will have been disposed of. That Northern Confederacy, of course, is the Gog-Magog Confederacy. Others would place the invasion during the latter part of the tribulation, not long before Armageddon. After God intervenes, the people will recognize him as the Jehovah of Old Testament and turn to him, the Jehovah of the Old Testament days, and turn to him. He will pour out his spirit and bless them. Never again will they pollute his name, Ezekiel 39:7. These revelations seem to require that the events of Ezekiel 38 take place before the spirit is outpoured at the second coming of Christ, Ezekiel 39:29, and Zechariah 12:10. And that's, of course, where the remnant of the Jews will recognize that Christ is their Messiah, when he returns to save them at that time of the Great Tribulation. It has recently been suggested that in this passage, Ezekiel is describing Armageddon itself. If this were true, it would solve the problem of just when Russia and her allies invade the land. However, the text does not permit this solution. In Ezekiel, Gog is the leader, while at Armageddon, the Antichrist dominates the scene. A limited confederacy of nations is described by the prophet, while all nations are involved at Armageddon. Divine intervention in Ezekiel takes the form of natural phenomenon like pestilence and earthquake, while the Antichrist is to be destroyed by the Lord himself. No battles are mentioned at the time of the invasion from the north, while Armageddon is to bring warfare such as the world has never known. It is significant that the invasion of Ezekiel 38 is placed between a regathering of the people of Israel, chapters 36 and 37 of Ezekiel, and the establishing of the kingdom of the Messiah in Ezekiel chapters 40 through 48. A return to the land in unbelief is possibly referred to in the story of the Valley of Dry Bones. There was no breath in them. There's no question, however, that the main point of the story in Ezekiel 37 is that God will someday restore the Jews to their land. All right, now for yet another more of a comprehensive view that some other author takes here, and actually I don't have his name off the top of my head. I've been to the Mid-America Prophecy Conferences before, and this actually comes from the Bible Prophecy as Written is the name of the article and ongoing articles that come. But this particular, some of these statements here came from this Mid-America Prophecy Conference in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I lived at some time ago and went to several of those conferences. Now, this is quite interesting, I think. Today, Russia and Iran have created a power hegemony encompassing Iran, Iraq, Syria, Hezbollah, Lebanon, centered in Syria, directly to the north of Israel. None of the prerequisites for the Magog invasion of Ezekiel 38:1-8 are missing. When the real event stacks up to the north of Israel, it will look very much like it does today. Now, this was a statement, as I say, some time ago, in statements that were made in 2014 and 2016. Okay, the imminent, now this is more current statements, I believe, here. The imminent Russian Islamic invasion of Israel. Will this be the next event of Bible prophecy? Will it occur before the rapture? What is the evidence that the invasion is led by Russia? Is this a 26-year-old prophecy on the brink of being fulfilled? And, you know, we are looking at different points of view, and so this particular writer has a strong view, and we will see that as we continue on. Here are the facts. Ezekiel 38 and 39 foretells of the invasion of Israel by a massive coalition of Russian Islamic forces in the last days. Gog of the land of Magog, or Russia, will convene an overwhelming army of Muslim nations with Iran at the helm. They will launch their assault from the far north. That means that Russia must have a route south through Georgia, Turkey, and Syria. Here is where headlines of the last couple of years begin to read like the scriptures. Russia has gained a foothold in Georgia. And I remember, you know, when a few years back when this was happening, and of course Israel was doing oil business with Georgia, so this was a really a flashpoint at that time. Russia has gained a port hold in Syria, and of course Russia always looked for a warm weather point. I talked about that somewhat in earlier podcasts. Russia holds a tight alliance with Turkey. Russia is on the move, and they are moving from north to south, laying a path for the invasion route and setting the stage to fulfill Ezekiel's prophecy. This writer's comments, ours is the first generation ever in prime position to see the prophecy of Gog in the land of Magog launch forth from the pages of the Bible and from the northernmost regions of the earth. I remember just recently reading that there was an article about, and I shared it, that there was believed that a Russian warship helped deliver an Iranian oil tanker with oil to Syria. So very provocative things taking place, and there they were in the warm water port helping Iran break sanctions. Now, summary of the things that this man wrote in this article. According to the 38th chapter of Ezekiel, the Iranians will join forces with Turkey, the former Southern Soviet republics, and Russia to attack Israel in the last days. Joining in are the Islamic nations of Ethiopia and Sudan, otherwise known as Kush in the Bible, and Libya, otherwise known as Put. This is one view on the timing, as I said, that he believes that it's imminent. Okay, it says security. Its meaning in a nutshell, and he's referencing Ezekiel 38:8. Where we're told that Israel is living securely in the land or dwelling safely at the time of the invasion. He says, current age, God-enforced security, or Hebrew batak, is a guarantee of divine safekeeping or preservation extending over times of both war and peace. Israel has been in this defeat-proof condition, in other words, undefeatable condition, through a series of miracle wars since 1948. And I think there's been five wars that were fought there, literal wars, from the time that they became a nation again till now. Many say the only thing holding back Ezekiel 38's end-time Magog invasion of Israel is that Israel must be secure and at rest. This author says they must be, and they are. It says both the rapture and the Magog invasion are imminent. That means either one could occur at any time, or even at the same time. There are no signs which must first be fulfilled before either event can occur. They are both pre-tribulation events. So he has a strong opinion, and that's what it is, and I'm sharing because I find all of this fascinating and very exciting, considering all the bad things and the dark things that are going on. I'm encouraged by Bible prophecy, and I hope you are as well. Some people, as I mentioned before, believe that the invasion won't come until the Antichrist's peace covenant with Israel in Daniel 9:27. I think that may be Mark Hitchcock's position, I believe. So anyway, I read on. Ezekiel 38 and 39 prophesies that in the latter years, Israel will be supernaturally rescued from the massive invasion of the Magog coalition in an event that will magnify God's name across the world. The timing of the invasion is keyed to two statements. Ezekiel 38:8, and we mentioned that earlier, after many days you will be summoned to Israel, talking to Gog, the Russia, and this coalition. You will be summoned to Israel when they are living securely, all of them. And I want to read, this is from 101 Amazing Prophecies of the Bible, a little booklet that I often mention. It's an excellent little witnessing tool to help people understand some of the basics of Bible prophecy. On page 15, and they cite the number 55 Amazing Prophecies, Israel would dwell without walls prior to the invasion from the north, Ezekiel 38, 8 through 11. As foretold, Israel now dwells without walls or bars or gates. Until 1900, most Middle East cities and villages were fortified, you know, with these said walls, bars, and gates. Yet modern weaponry, jets and missiles, can ascend, covering the land like a cloud, making these barriers obsolete. So, good point there, I think. So moving back to my other article here, Ezekiel 38:11. This, remember, he says the timing of the invasion is keyed to two statements. The first one we already gave about living securely. The second one, living in a land of unwalled villages. It says, and you will say, I will go against those who are at rest that live securely in the land of unwalled villages. So, moving on. In the Ezekiel passages, the Hebrew word for secure is betak, and for rest, it is shakat. The use of these same words elsewhere in the Bible in conditions which parallel modern Israel show that today Israel can be said to be secure and at rest. Again, that's this author's opinion. Four eras of Israel's history illuminate the meaning of Israel's state of security, Ezekiel 38, and at rest, Ezekiel 38:11, which trigger the future Magog war. In four graphic sets below, we show Old Testament events that affirm the terms secure and at rest in Ezekiel 38 actually match the condition of Israel today. Number one, during the Exodus, Israel was secure while engaged in multiple wars. Today, Israel in the same condition. Of course, Israel, you know, was involved as Pharaoh came with all of his soldiers to try to destroy them. During the Judges, period of the Judges, Israel experienced periods of rest while enduring threats and oppression. Today, Israel is in the same condition. Number three, during the reign of Asa, Israel was at rest while maintaining an armed camp, state of readiness. Today, Israel is in the same condition. And then four, during the reign of Solomon, Israel was secure while enduring intense border conflict. The author claims today Israel is in the same condition. So, pretty interesting stuff. Now, I would like to, with the time I have remaining, I would like to look at least one article of current events of important events. This is an article from Israel Unwired, written by David Mark on November 29th of this 2020. Iran is blaming Israel for their scientists' assassination. Will this trigger war? On Friday, November 27th, the father of Iran's nuclear weapons program, Mohsen Fakhrizadeh, was assassinated by a team of five masked gunmen. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani uttered the following response, blaming Israel. Once again, the evil hands of global arrogance and the Zionist mercenaries were stained with the blood of an Iranian son. I really don't want to read any more of what his rantings there, but that's the end of it. Iran has vowed revenge and did not waste time approving raising the limits on uranium enrichment to 20%, the amount that is needed to produce a bomb. Besides this act, it is assumed that the Iranian Revolutionary Guards or even Hezbollah will strike Israeli civilian targets. Whether or not the Mossad is in fact carried out the assassination or merely played a logistic role for local dissidents does not matter. Iran has been deeply damaged by the success of this attack. More importantly, the Iranians have now set out on a course where they will have to take the offensive against U.S. and Israeli installations, as well as UAE, Bahraini, and Saudi targets. Iran was hoping to wait out the Trump administration in order to work with the incoming Biden administration. This attack puts that strategy to bed. Even the Biden administration, if it succeeds in holding the Electoral College, would be hard-pressed, and of course, this article is a little bit older, as I mentioned, holding the Electoral College would be hard-pressed to convince the American public and U.S. allies in the Middle East that a belligerent Iran can be trusted. Iran was hoping to wait out. Okay, there is an ongoing assumption that President Trump will attempt to set back the Iranian program by years before if he has to leave office on January 20th. While this assassination clearly helps to achieve those aims, it is President Trump's reaction to the Iranian payback which may be meant to set the stage to prevent the Biden administration from having a chance to revive the JCPOA, which is the 2015 nuclear deal that Obama made with the Iranians. In case you were wondering how different the incoming Biden administration will be towards Iran as well as Israel, take a look at former CIA head John Brennan's statement about the assassination. This was a criminal act and highly reckless. It risked lethal retaliation and a new round of regional conflict. Iranian leaders would be wise to wait for the return of responsible, he says, American leadership on the global stage and resist the urge to respond against perceived culprits. You know, I think Brennan stuck his head up out of the swamp and made those statements. Whatever the Iranian retaliation, is a 20% hike in uranium enrichment enough to spur both the Israelis and the U.S. into a potential preemptive strike to ensure that no matter who is inaugurated on January 20th, that Iran's nuclear program is set back for years to come? Well, I'm out of time. Next week, we'll look at a few more articles of upcoming events concerning the tense situation after this assassination. Thank you so much. Join me next week, I hope. God bless you all. Good night.